A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers. Happy 85th birthday today to Memphis Music Hall of Famer Mavis Staples.
Always a groovy song. Always, yep. Always a groovy song. I guess let's start here. I don't want to spend too much time on last night, but it was something we watched, and I found myself thinking in the first quarter, it's like, oh, this is going to be a repeat of basically the entire season that we just watched, where guys that you don't really know are playing and they fall behind. But lo and behold, they scratch and claw and work their way back into it. Will Jalen Wells' buzzer beater make your top moments of the year?
No. I think there's a cap of one, I think, on Summer League moments.
Yeah, I think that's probably
so
fair.
I think Zach Edey has already claimed that. I think it's unlikely. Like, I'm trying to think back of, like, Summer League moments that have made that list. I think Jaron hitting, like, 8 threes in his first Summer League game made the list. Rudy Gay, like, reverse tomahawk dunking on top of E.G. Leon back in the going way, way back was one. But I, you know, maybe I don't know, maybe did Russ Smith, you know, leading the team to a Summer League championship make it? I don't remember. But no, I think the Jalen Wells shot was cool. It was, you know, it was funny because, like, I watched the game late on delay. And yeah. So I'd seen something about him hitting a buzzer beater. And the way the game was going, I thought, like, you know, someone was going to pass him the ball and he was going to take a shot, which seemed like to be what should happen. And he's standing in the corner waving his arms the whole possession wide open, and it ends up being this, like, just sort of, you know, hustle play, in, you know, to win it. But that was a very good game. I mean, him and Cameron Sims were both the 2 second-round picks, the 2 guys. You know, Trey Jemison played too, but the 2 guys who mattered most probably for the Grizzlies both had really, really strong games, obviously. That was good to see.
Though, I'm like you, it was a cool finish. It was like a cool shot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the one,
like,
hand,
really
grabbing the
quick,
one hand and flip, like, it was cool. But at the same time, like, I just, the entire time I'm watching the game, I'm like, man, it's tough to, like, talk myself into, like, this being significant.
Yeah, I mean, I think Summer League matters because I think all information matters, but, like, it only matters so much. And you take it all sort of in collectively. You know, we talked about Cam Spencer yesterday, and I expressed, you know, skepticism about him because of his athleticism. And I still have that skepticism just because there aren't a lot of guys like that in the NBA, guys with that size athleticism combo, especially ones who are not point guards. Like, he's not T.J. McConnell. He's an off-ball guy. But, like, you know, he was a really good college basketball player for the national champion. He's been good, you know, both of these summer league games. And so this is why we play the games, right? We'll see. I do think with Spencer and Wells to a lesser degree, I think there are athleticism questions with Wells, not as much as with Spencer. But with both, I think they can establish they're good enough athletes for the NBA Summer League. They can establish they're not, and that has not happened. So that's sort of like the first hurdle has been cleared. Like, if you threw me out there in that game, I would establish in about 20 seconds I'm not a good enough athlete for the NBA, right?
At least you would have made it 20 seconds. I think it would have taken about two for me.
Yeah, I'm giving myself 20 seconds to run down the floor, basically. That's about how long it would take for me to get end to end. So with Spencer and Wells, like, you know, I think even two games in, you check the box that, yeah, they're good enough for summer league. And so are they good enough athletically for preseason basketball, for regular season basketball? That's where you step up. And I think that's something we'll only figure out over time. But, you know, they were drafted primarily for shooting skill, and, like, Wells had a terrible first game. But, like, that was proven in college, and now we've seen it in some of these games.
How much stock would you like to have in either that by year three that they could crack the rotation?
I would put that as maybe a 50-50 proposition, maybe slightly lower than that for Jalen Wells. I mean, it's a second-round pick. Most second-round picks don't do that. But he's a second-round pick who has some questions about his athleticism. But he is 6'7", and he can shoot. And 6'7 wings who can shoot, like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for those guys. And there's abundant opportunity if you're a 6'7 wing who can drill three-pointers. With Spencer, he's not a 6'7 wing. He's like a 6'4 wing. And the question for him, I think Wells has a better chance to hold up defensively than Spencer, and that's the real question. We know Spencer can make shots. We know he can see the floor. We know he's smart. We know he has a good feel for the game. Can you actually play on the defensive end of the court in the NBA as a 6'4 wing with that level of athleticism? That's the real question for him.
The other highlight for me last night, I was unfamiliar with this game. Isaiah Miller might be an elite bitcher at the refs. I mean, that guy's ability to immediately have the whistle and call for the replay, that's already like 10-year vet stuff. I mean, it was unbelievable how good he was.
You're paying more attention. My eyes are so trained on the guys that matter. Like, I'm just sort of barely paying attention to the other numbers running around.
He was just like every time the whistle blew. That guy, let's tell you what. Let's see. I'm trying to see. He finished with he only finished with two fouls, but in his book, he had no fouls. That's one thing for sure. I think the other things that were I think kind of interesting. Do you suspect that Trey Jemison is going to be that guy that kind of goes back and forth, but he's going to be the guy that gets the most opportunity as the fifth big?
So, I mean, the question is he going to still be in that role come opening night?
Yeah.
And to me, it starts with that. I think the role you describe is what they want in that third two-way spot. I think, you know, you're going to have Pippen, you're going to have Spencer, and I think the third two-way will be a big. I think it will be a big they think can contribute for the Grizzlies this season. And if they end up going into the regular season without another big on the main roster, which at this point I think is likely, I think that makes it more important that the player on that two-way deal is someone who can contribute to the NBA team. And so the question I think there, I think they like Trey Spencer, Trey Jemison, excuse me, otherwise he wouldn't still be there. But I think the question they will ask themselves is, do we think Trey Jemison can really help us, you know, when we need it at the NBA level? And do we think he's the best option? And so I think this is not going to be decided really until, like, you get to opening day, because who's going to get cut in training camps for other teams? You know, I mean, if you go back, and I know it was later in the season when they had a Scottie Pippen Jr., but Scottie Pippen Jr. was in camp, I think, with the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know? And so
he played games for the Lakers.
Right, right. And so guys who are two-way eligible who are currently not available to you are going to become available to you because they, you know, they get cut or whatever from other teams. And so my assumption is that the Grizzlies are on the lookout for who is the best, like, contributing front court player we can get on this two-way. And that might be Trey Jemison. It also might not be Trey Jemison. And I think that determination probably won't happen for a while.
The other thing I was thinking about, the expectations Luke Kennard comes back. But it's like anything. He hasn't signed, so he isn't back. And there's a universe where it just falls through. It doesn't work out. If that spot opens up, do you suspect that they would start looking at bigs throughout to use that money, or do you think they would just hold the spot?
I'll tell you, I think the universe where that happens is like a 1% universe. I think Luke Kennard is going to sign a contract with the Grizzlies sometime in the next week or so, and I think Luke Kennard is going to be back with the Grizzlies. And so I think, you know, but to entertain the question, I think, let's say, even if that does happen, some people are going to look up and say, well, you just drafted Jalen Wells. Like, how many of these guys do you need, right? You got Cam Spencer on the two-way you could use. Right. Like, I know the team needs shooting, but now you got three, like, shooting specialists, two guards who have defensive questions, you know, you can deploy. And so, and you don't have a fifth big. And you don't have a reliable backup point guard on the main roster, right? And so I think there will be reason to look at that and say, was bringing back Luke Kennard really the best thing to use with that salary slot? Because you could let him go and use your mid-level exception and sign a different kind of player. I think that would be a reasonable question to ask. And in the what I consider a 1% scenario that you outlined where you don't bring Kennard back, I don't think you necessarily go out and sign a player like Luke Kennard, no. But I think part of this is there's a pre-existing relationship with Luke Kennard, which is a two-way street. I think he wants to be back, is my sense of things. I think, you know, they traded for him because they like him. They like the results that have happened when he's been on the floor. You know, he likes the team. The team likes him. The teammates like him. And so in a fantasy basketball sense, you could say, when you really want Luke Kennard, you could sign Gary Trent Jr. or sign this player or that player. But in a universe where the differences are fine, you know, there's a thin difference qualitatively. The fact that, like, this guy is already part of our team and we like him and there's a relationship factor there, I think, you know, sort of tips the scales a little bit.
Hey, I was trying to think about this. When I kept hearing how much Luke has liked it here, it kind of took me by surprise. Not in the sense that, like, oh, who would like it here? You know, he's just in L.A. Like, I'm not even talking about like that. But it's like, it has been kind of up and down. You know, he's... The role's been a little iffy at times. Then, you know, when it felt like they're ready to turn to him, he gets hurt. And it's just, it's been kind of erratic. Does it surprise you that he likes it as much here as he does?
Well, I guess what I'd say about that, I have not spoken like one-on-one with Luke Kennard on that subject. He has spoken about that in more public settings that I've been a part of. He's conveyed, you know, desire to stay, a desire to be back. I think, you know, he's a guy who has bounced around some, and the Grizzlies are a team that went out to seek him out. And, you know, maybe you want to be more settled. I do know, and again, I don't, you know, this is more context clues. This is not something that he has said that I know of, but, like, he just had a kid, you know, recently. And so sometimes there's personal factors there where, like, you know, you don't necessarily want to uproot your family and move when you're sort of trying to get settled. Well, I know, like Kyle Anderson, who just signed with the Warriors, he had said publicly that he didn't want to leave Minnesota in part because of his family, and because he had his kid in a school he really liked in Minnesota and really wanted to be back. I think what happened there is he could have stayed for a minimum in Minnesota or taken, you know, $20 million or whatever it was to go to Golden State. At that point, you sort of have to make that choice. But I think sometimes these guys don't necessarily it's not just a basketball decision sometimes, you know?
No, to your point, I mean, I'm not rubbing salt in your wounds because you've just gone through it, but it's like, you know, my wife and I are casually looking for another house.
Right.
And I just find myself going, man, moving with a kid sucks. Like, like, God, that just sucks. But, like, you know, I don't know. I have heard from multiple people that he really likes it here. And I don't know, I guess I'm glad that he does, but it took me by surprise a little bit, only simply because it's been up and down. But I could also look at it from the perspective of he does have a role on this team. How many other teams does he have a role on? Like, I don't know.
And he's appreciated, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fans start bellowing, Luke, when he gets hot. Like,
sure.
Are they doing that for the Clippers? I'm guessing they weren't, right?
No, I mean, he was out of the rotation.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think even though the Grizzlies have a lot of depth there, he's not a starter for this team. He may not be a starter for any team. But I think they need what he provides, and there's a relationship there. And, like, you know, again, it's not a confirmed fact that he'll be back. It won't be until a deal is signed. But, you know, there have been two national reporters who basically said he's expected to be back and other teams expected to be back. And my independent knowledge is the same. And so I think it would be a wild surprise to me if that doesn't get done, you know, the next week or so.
Is there any chance that Monday night was the only time we see Zach Edey in summer league playing, I should say?
I doubt it. I have no intel on that, but I would be critical if that were true. I think that would be dumb. this idea, I think we talked about this earlier, but this idea of too good for summer league, like, he's a rookie. I mean, what are we doing? He needs reps at the NBA, against the NBA level talent. He needs reps in the team system. So no, I think he should play the whole summer league, with the exception of, like, you know, because the games are so tight, you don't play anybody every game. And so I think he sat last night along with Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia and Scottie Pippen because they were playing three games in 3 days. But barring an actual injury concern, like, I no, he should play.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I'm also, like, in the camp of, like, in the NFL, it's becoming much more in vogue to not play your starters during the preseason. I'm not saying I want him to play all three preseason games, but I'm just not a big fan of, like, hey, your first game action is night one. Or, you know, when, like, yeah. I think there is value to being on the floor.
He's a rookie, for one thing. I know he's likely to be a starter. By the way, I was looking at this today. I think he might be the only rookie who starts opening night. It wouldn't shock me if that happened.
Again, I know it's sometimes betting markets can be reactionary because of what we just saw, but he is now either, depending on your sports book of choice, he's either the favorite to be the rookie of the year or the co-favorite.
I'm an NBA nerd who keeps a spreadsheet of all the rosters and depth charts, like my own.
Smart.
And I was looking at it. The only other rookie I have you know, penciled in as a starter is Alexander Sarr, but maybe he won't start because they just signed Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe they'll bring him along slowly. I think Zach Edius, the ninth pick in this draft, he's the most likely rookie to start. I think there's a chance he's the only rookie who starts. And for a winning team, and he might average a double-double. I if I were a betting man, I'd put money on Zach Edius for rookie of the year. I think there's a good chance that happens. But back to the question, like, yeah, he's a starter, but he's also a rookie. And this is basketball, not football, right?
Yes.
Injuries can always happen, but the injury likelihood in an individual game is not quite
as... It's not a collision sport.
Right, right. And so, you know, we get over this all the time when they talk about taking guys out to protect him from injury. Like, where did Jaren Jackson break his foot? It was just like, you know, it wasn't even in a game. It was just in his gym.
Sounded like it was like a pool or something. Like,
yeah, how did, you know, John Morant injure his shoulder last season? It was just working out before a game. And so this idea of, like, bubble wrapping, like, young players because of injury, I wouldn't be playing him 30 minutes in three straight days, but, like, yeah, I would play him as I would any other rookie throughout summer league.
Also got the news yesterday that Ja Morant is now been cleared. He's back. And Jeff was asking me in the sense that he thought it was a bummer that it took up until now. I kind of talked myself into... When you look at what NBA guys do the month of June, that's not a lot of them just, like, go on vacation and do stuff. Like, I kind of found myself going, like, it's net positive. Like, I feel like by coming back now, like, I feel confident he's going to be ready to go at training camp.
Well, I think this was sort of the timetable that was always suggested. I don't find anything surprising about the timetable. It seemed like that was sort of normal to me that they sort of
he was not necessarily lamenting the timetable in the sense of that it took too long. He just thought it was a bummer that he didn't have the entire offseason. But I was
to your point, these guys work hard during the offseason. They're not in the gym working on basketball 9 hours a day every single day for the entire summer. They spend some time on the beach, you know? They spend some time in the clubs and whatever. And there's plenty of time, both from a physical, you know, a physical rehab standpoint and from a skill standpoint to get ramped up. I mean, they're not going to play a game until late October.
How interested are you in the Olympic team?
Moderately. I would say moderately. I like international basketball. My world doesn't stop for it, you know, especially with no Grizzlies on the team. But I enjoy the international basketball stuff. I enjoy it even when it's not the Olympics. I enjoy it when it's FIBA and, you know, the other tournaments. And so I'm interested in it. I'm not heavily invested in whether the U.S. wins the gold in basketball. I mean, I'll root for them, but I don't guess care that much. But I'm interested in it just from a, like, liking basketball perspective and wanting to see. And we've reached the point now where most teams have, like, meaningful players on them.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, it's a lot more interesting now. It's more competitive, you know. It's sort of more obviously more risk for Team USA than it was for the Dream Team in Barcelona. But it's a lot more interesting to me as a basketball fan. And so I thought the FIBA games were interesting, as disappointing as the outcome was for USA. But, yeah, I'm interested in it. But I'm not, like, hanging on it. I'm more focused on, like, summer league and NBA transactions. I know a lot of the media has turned the corner to, like, let's break down the Olympics. and I haven't paid that much attention to it.
Yeah, because I was like you. I, you know, when I'm watching, you know, SportsCenter during the day, figuring out, hey, has anything gone on? Like, I don't know. I guess it just kind of like caught me by surprise. Like, oh yeah, like they play tonight. Like they have a exhibition against Canada tonight. And it's one of those ones where when it's on in the competition, it's like, yeah, I enjoy it the same way you do, because I think it's a unique way to see these guys, and I find that interesting. But I was just kind of
it does feel like this Olympics is sort of like the last mountain to climb for, like, you know, a generation of guys.
Yeah.
Like LeBron's not winning another title probably. Steph Curry's not winning another title probably. And so, like, winning this gold medal could be, like, you know, the last like crowning achievement kind of thing for some of these guys.
Well, doesn't Steph have the weird stat? Like, isn't this like his first Olympic team?
That might be true. I don't know for a fact, but I'll go with you on that.
Yeah, I think, like, because there's like some years he got snubbed, and then other years he was hurt, and then they also a lot of those years they played late into the season, and then the last Olympics was weird. I'm looking on his profile. I believe this is his first Olympic team, so like there's that element, but I don't know. I guess the other thing that kind of surprised me is, or not surprised me, but I've just been thinking about this. So Kawhi's announced that he's not going to play. Are we done seeing Kawhi being like a meaningful basketball player?
It feels that way. I mean, I think he was really good last season when he played, but he hasn't finished the season healthy in multiple years at this point. And when you're not ready, if you're not healthy in the playoffs, you sort of, at some level, what did it matter, you know? And so, I think he'll still be great in moments, but in terms of being great, like when it matters most and staying healthy, I don't know how you could depend on it at this point.
He has kind of an odd career to like put on paper, because he had three titles, right? Two with the Spurs, one with.
He's got two finals MVPs.
And, like, peak Kawhi, there's moments where you could argue, like, he was one of the three or four best players on the planet, but that burst was so short. Like,
right.
I just feel like putting him into context is a difficult task, because he's obviously, like, peak Kawhi is a great, great player, but it's just kind of an odd career, and the bouncing around, the weird injuries, whatnot. Like, I've always struggled, like, of how to put him into context.
Yeah, because he's not one of these guys who, like, got hot in the playoffs, and there's a disconnect between, like, the playoff, the finals MVPs and the level of player he actually was. Like, he was that level of player, but he was never that level of player in a sustained way across multiple regular seasons. And so, you know, I think coming off that title with Toronto, he had sort of, like, grabbed the belt or whatever as best player in the world, but didn't have it very long, you know? I mean, there's a scenario where he should have been over multiple seasons, like right there with Durant and Curry and LeBron, and it felt like he was just a little off to the side the whole time. He was almost like a more of a special attraction than an everyday kind of thing, you know?
Well, in the weird way, he kind of has like the career arc of like an old school big, where the career wasn't as long because like battling through injuries usually whatnot, but it's like I think about like Bill Walton, like peak Bill Walton's a great player, but there's not that many years of peak great Bill Walton.
No, that before you said it, when you just said big, that's the first thought that popped in my head. There is a little bit of he's in his own way, he's almost like winged Bill Walton kind of without the college resume. Yeah.
Chris, we really appreciate it, my man.
All right, thanks.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. The Grizzlies, of course, will return to summer league action tonight. They will take on the Thunder. You can see that. See, that would be 7:30 tonight locally. That's going to be NBA TV. So it switches over from ESPN to NBA TV. Of course, we'll be talking about it. I would presume after the guys had the night off last night, we'll see the guys that we're hoping to see. Zach Edey, GG, the entire gang, Scottie Pippen Jr. We'll see them all tonight. When we come back, Jeff's going to rejoin the program. Also, Sam Hardman is going to join the program next.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.